Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 71. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Kristen Resendez from Harlingen, Texas. Kristen's son, Jack, has SMA, and she is an active member of the SMA community. Kristen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. This is my first podcast.
I'm very excited too. And a funny story to listeners, Kristen actually interviewed me and my caregiver a couple weeks ago for a Care SMA thing. So now we're flipping the tables here. So this should be a lot of fun. But awesome. Well, before we get started, if everyone could listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a new FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay. Well, Kristen, to start off, tell us just a little bit about your background and your son, Jack.
Well, I have a now five-year-old boy. His name is Jack Oliver, and he has SMA type 1. And Jack was diagnosed at 7 weeks old. At about 5 weeks old is when we noticed that his arms and legs weren't moving. But after we looked through pictures and videos, that he had actually stopped moving at about 3 weeks old. And being a single mother, the kind of not noticing time period that went by makes sense, because I was by myself with him all the time. I was exhausted. It was just feed him, wake him, bathe him, go back to sleep. You know, it was a rough time for both of us. And so when I finally noticed he wasn't moving, he also had some congestion. And so we took him to the pediatrician, and, you know, she kind of says, you know, just try to put some more humidity in his room and, you know, let this cold pass. But then it never went away. And she's holding him and, you know, doing a basic evaluation. And she noticed when she picked up his arm and let go, it fell straight back to the table. And so very quickly, I mean, everything, his diagnosis story was very quick. You know, like I said, stopped moving at 3 weeks, noticed at 5 weeks, was at the doctor at 5 weeks. Saw a doctor one day, next day saw the neurologist, that day went to the hospital, and 2 weeks later, because the blood tests take a while, you know, we got the confirmation that Jack had spinal muscular atrophy type 1 since he was only an infant. And, you know, just it's just unfortunately the same story that you hear from so many other parents. You know, take your baby home and love him. For, you know, no matter where you are in the U.S., I'd probably say 90% of families hear that story. And, you know, luckily we've got some really strong parents out there, including myself, who thrived for more answers, or for at least a doctor who was going to help, you know, let your child live a little longer. At the time Jack was born in 2015, there was no FDA approved, medication. And there was only one clinical trial that I was aware of at the time. And I wasn't even aware of it very soon after his diagnosis. It was probably 6 to 8 weeks after he was diagnosed that I had heard of the clinical trial for, at the time, nusinersen, now Spinraza. And I fought really hard to get him a chance to screen for that trial. And we were very lucky and grateful enough to be given the opportunity for Jack to screen for the trial, and he happened to meet all the requirements, like the amount of SMN proteins he did have, and his age. He had to be under 6 months, and so Jack was able to enroll in that trial, and we started that trial in January 2016, and you know, it was a first really tough year in that trial, and especially an infant with SMA. Most type 1s get sick very often, and their immune systems are low, and it was very difficult. We didn't see a lot of improvement from the drug for the first 10 to 12 months because he was constantly ill. We were constantly hospitalized. He kept getting sick with colds or, you know, pneumonia and things like that. And so it wasn't until after he turned one, we started to see more improvements, and we realized it was just, you know, him being sick all the time, and the drug just wasn't getting the chance to show off. So yeah, I mean, after he turned one, he just, every year he got a little stronger and stronger and stronger. And Jack was a true type one. He didn't move anything but his eyes for a very long time. And then was able to get some mobility, you know, from the elbow down and then the shoulder down. His legs move, but he doesn't have the ability to bear weight. So he doesn't stand on his own. You know, he didn't eat by mouth. It was all very, very scary in the beginning. And luckily I had, you know, the best support system. And, oh man. Okay. Can I start? Yeah.
That brings in a point. Like, I was going to ask in terms of, like, cause I, of course the diagnosis stage is like the worst time for every parent, and it's when it's just so overwhelming. But in terms of your support system, were you relying more on family, or did you get plugged in with the SMA community pretty early on? What was that kind of like?
So the way that I got plugged into the SMA community was pretty interesting. I used to, one of my old coworkers at my previous job, I remember when my son was diagnosed and we were on our way to Dallas, because like I said, the doctor here, you know, said just to take your baby home and love him. And I couldn't accept that answer.
Right.
So I used to live in Dallas, and I called some clients I used to work with, one of which worked at the Children's Medical Center. She's a GI doctor, Dr. Channa. And I called her and I said, you know, hey, doc, like, what do I do? You know, my son just got diagnosed with this terminal disease. Is what they're telling me true? Like, these are my only options. And she was like, I don't know if those are your only options, but you need to go to a bigger hospital. You need to go to a big city now. And so she was able to connect me with the right doctors. Her and another friend who's a nurse practitioner were able to connect me to the correct neurologists at Children's Medical Center Dallas that specialize in SMA. And so I remember we were driving to Dallas, and I texted one of my coworkers, and she was getting her hair done at this moment that I'm texting her, and she's telling her hairdresser about you know, my son's diagnosis. And the hairdresser goes, wow, I have a client who has two children with SMA. And so you know, my friend's hairdresser got me in connection with this mom who happens to be Beth Moore, one of my best friends. You know, she lost her son William actually a year ago in December, and she has a daughter Mary who is just a couple months older than Jack. So we hit it off very quickly, and you know, she's the one that told me, like, oh, you know, there's Facebook groups, there's Care SMA. And so, I don't know. I love that story because it's you forget. I mean, I live 9 hours away from these people. It's just a small world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how I became involved. And, I remember those, like I said, Jack was sick very often, and, I'd be in the hospital and I was just like, man, are these doctors really doing everything they can for him? And so you would post on the group support system pages, and people would respond with like very logical ways to treat your child that the hospitals weren't always doing. And so, you know, I look back and I'm very proud of the help that I sought from these strangers online, and was very open-minded to their advice and their suggestions. And as much as the doctors and Spinraza have done for Jack, I mean, these parents that have experienced before there was any drugs are the parents we should still be talking to today.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even you and your parents and you're an adult with SMA living a pretty normal life, and you're doing everything just like everybody else does. you know, these new parents are, you know, they get these drugs and it's like, you know, we don't need everything else, but yeah, your kid still has SMA, you know.
Yeah.
You want to be as careful and know that you've done everything as possible to improve the quality of life and improve experiences and so on and so forth. So, you know, I'm super thankful for parents, and I always offer advice. I know the open-mindedness of any community, you know, right now it's very like social media doctors. So I get the hesitation that there is today, as there wasn't, you know, back in the day, but, man, there's still some really valuable information that parents today, or adults living with SMA, you know, have the power to give, these new generations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's crazy to me is like, and I've said this to other parents before too, like I think about, you know, Jack was diagnosed in 2015. So only a year before Spinraza was FDA approved. And it's crazy to hear that, you know, parents like you've received the same message from doctors upon diagnosis. They're like, oh, just, you know, there's no hope, blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, because that's the message my parents received when I was diagnosed and all that. And it's crazy to hear that, because it's like, yes, okay, at that time, there were no FDA approved drugs yet, but it was closer to time. And even without that, there's so many more resources today. And just like, you know, the SMA community is really vibrant. It's crazy to me that, you know, doctors are still saying stuff like that. And like, and it points out to a big thing of like, yeah, you really have to get with the right healthcare team. And that plays a big part of it. But it just, yeah, it blows my mind that they would still say things like that. Because not that it's not still a devastating diagnosis upon, but there are so many more resources out there today than there were 20 years ago. And, you know, so that's what blows my mind. But, and speaking of that, like, so did you stay with the neurologist that diagnosed Jack, or did you kind of like try, like, what was the process of getting the right healthcare team from that point on?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, you have to really find a team that's going to support you in all the right ways. And when that local doctor, you know, was like, there's nothing you could do. I mean, he couldn't even send me to a pulmonologist. And at the time I didn't even know what a pulmonologist was, to know that I needed to be sent to one. But, you know, nobody gave me a suction machine at the very least. It was like they wanted him to, you know, take the, they were making that decision for me to take, you know, the natural course. And so, yeah, we left that neurologist here in, we call this the Rio Grande Valley where I live. It's this whole like tip of Texas. And unfortunately where I live, you know, it's very Hispanic, Latino dominated. And we don't have a lot of resources. There's a lot of poor communities. You know, the healthcare. I mean, if I'm ever in an accident, please ship me off to another region of Texas, because, you know, it's just the resources that we have available are just a lot slimmer than other places. And so my family and I were fortunate enough to afford to travel back and forth to Dallas these last 5 years. We still continue to do so. All of his specialists are in Dallas. The only doctor we have here at home is his PCP is his normal practitioner. And so everything is, I mean, we drive 9 hours to get a hearing test, and we don't mind it because we know it's the best. You know, sometimes it weighs on us, but luckily the hospital is really good about knowing we live far away, and they'll manipulate, you know, somebody else's schedule to get us, you know, to see everybody we need to see in one visit. So we're very grateful for them. But yeah, I mean, it is hard. I mean, in all places of the U.S., I know over a quarter of the U.S. is rural, if not more than that. I'm not good at statistics, but I mean, you're gonna SMA isn't always born in Dallas, Texas, or a big city.
Right.
I mean, I know families that live in rural Montana or, you know, rural Virginia, and it is hard. It is hard to be able to get your child or your loved one, you know, the right attention they need in, at the right location, especially if it's not close to you. So. But I mean, we're still with the same doctor that we met 5 years ago in Dallas, and she's a wonderful woman, and she's on one of the doctors on the CureSMA board, and she's our coordinator of everything.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's an essential part. And like you said, it's a shame that it kind of like you're at a disadvantage when, you know, often because of location or whatever. And like, it's a fight to get those necessary resources and the best ones for your child, your family. So yeah, it's still an issue many families face out there. But absolutely. But thank you for sharing that. And Kristen, before we continue, if everyone could listen to one more brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A new treatment has just been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all of the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this new treatment option a reality. To learn more about this new treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
All right. Well, shifting gears just a little bit, like, you know, we've talked a lot about Jack's diagnosis and kind of like, you know, the many ways SMA affects you and him and your family. What is kind of like a typical day look like for you? And here, you know, you can talk about anything. I mean, as far as like your interests, your work, like what are Jack's interests? I just tell me something about that and like what kind of a typical day looks like for both of you.
Well, a typical weekday right now.
a little different now, of course.
you know, this COVID pandemic, you know, we decided that it was best to keep Jack in a virtual school setting here at home versus the physical classic group setting at school. And so, the poor guy, Jack gets woken up super early every day still to get ready to stay home. But we like to keep him in a routine. And, his whole first half of the day, he's begging to go play outside, but he's sitting in front of his iPad in school. And then as soon as 12 o'clock hits, he's like saved by the bell. He's ready to do some fun stuff. So, you know, Jack, oh man, he's such a boy. I grew up with three brothers, and I was the only girl. And so I always wanted a daughter. And then when I had Jack, and I'm like, oh, you know, it'll be all right. You know, he'll do whatever I want to do. But nah, we have to do whatever he wants to do. He's the king of the house. So he loves every day. We got to go hunt for bugs. Never did I thought I'd be think I would be catching toads with my bare hands. I know my mom's like, you shouldn't be touching those. They're going to, you know, give you rashes or warts and stuff. And I'm like, Mom, I've been catching these toads for the past 6 months and my hands are clean. You know, I had to buy a whole like insect/animal capture set, and we'll capture a toad and, you know, hold them for like 10 minutes and then re-release them. In fact, yesterday I hadn't caught a lizard in a while. And I had some cheetah blood in me yesterday. I caught one fast. But yeah, he's always making me do things for him. And the nice thing right now, he's only five. So I know sooner than later, he's going to start to ask the questions of like, you know, why can't he do this? And why I can do this? And but like right now, he's a good director. He just, whatever he wants done, I have to do is like no questions about it. But it's fun that way. You know, he's go catch this. Let's go do this. Let's go over here. And luckily he doesn't ask like, well, I see you run. Why can't I run? But he makes me run in circles around him, and he wants to dance. I mean, he can dance in his wheelchair. That's no problem. But he's a big ball of fun. He's always wanting to do an adventure. You know, carry me on your back and let's go walk over here. Let's go. We live about 45 minutes from a beach. An island called South Padre Island. And so we go there often. We'll go walk the beach and then go to dinner. And he likes to eat fish now. He can eat by mouth, which is pretty, it's about a year that he's been eating by mouth, and like the last 6 months where he's been like eating full meals. So that that's a new experience that he loves doing every day right now is eating.
That's great.
In fact, I picked up Chick-fil-A a little while ago, and he had, you know, mac and cheese and some nuggets. So
nice.
I have a feeling he's going to be like, have a blog later in life where he's traveling the world and eating, and I could see it.
Do you know Corey Lee? He's like a SMA adult. He travels around the world. He has a travel blog like that. He could be Corey Lee. Yeah.
Have to check it out.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. And then in terms of you, like, what is your background career wise and just you know, your interests and that kind of thing?
So, let's see, I went to school for, it's called Converge Broadcast Media, which is, basically all the platforms of social media. So you have, you know, your news, online news, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I should know how to use it all perfectly and get my message out. Video, reporting, anchoring. I wanted to be a weather girl. And while I was in college, I also taught group exercise. And I really loved that. And so I would do, like, fitness segments for school. And most of my stuff ended up turning into fitness. And I got I also have a minor in health promotions, which I do really appreciate today, because it's taught me a lot about being proactive about healthcare, and especially for Jack. And life is about being proactive. So I feel like that career had kind of, or that schooling had prepared me for this life career. But with Jack, and after college, I was a personal trainer for 3 or 4 years, and then I had Jack, and so I moved back home, and I work for my dad now. We own a brick company, and I work from home. I work for him, and I still personal train. I'm in my gym right now. I feel like it really has prepared me as far as advocating, having that social media background before social media was really a thing. I mean, because really, if you think about it, this is still like 5 to 10 years new. And I remember being young in college, and like, you know, you post your food and stuff like that. But today, I love being able to help Jack share his story. And now that he's getting older, you know, he's sharing his own story. I don't really have to do very much. He can talk and be silly on his own. So that's been really helpful. And that health promotions background, I mean, everything that we've done for Jack, and we've prolonged back surgery for this long because, you know, we were extra careful. You know, he didn't get a lot of pneumonia illnesses from eating because, you know, we listened to the doctors and we stopped feeding him so he wouldn't aspirate. And we kind of waited for the right time to, you know, push him forward. We didn't really sit him up a lot when he didn't have the muscular ability to. And when he did, you know, we always brace him. And so he's a strong little kid. And I think my open-mindedness for that, listening to people and my training skills, you know, as a personal trainer, has really helped him greatly, you know, knowing what exercises are good for him to do, what makes sense for what this disease does to the body. I mean, you know, he's not in my gym doing bicep curls or anything. You know, he needs stretching, and he needs to make sure all his muscles stay loose if they're not going to stay strong. It's been fun.
That's really cool. And and like you said, it's cool how, with your background and social media and everything, like, how that does become a tool now for advocating. And, you know, we talk a lot about the dangers of social media, and certainly there are, but that's, you know, especially in the SMA community and other disability communities, that's one of the biggest positives I see, is how it's used to not just spread awareness, but, like, to share your story and connect with other people. It's really cool to see that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing about, you know, the social media thing. I know I see, like, adults post about, you know, certain do's and don'ts, and I really love, I mean, it's like when we had our last little interview, I really do love to hear what you all have to say, because there's sometimes we don't, you know, we're just thinking like a normal parent. Like, I mean, I might post my kid running around naked when he's two if he didn't have SMA, you know. So I think about like that stuff. But I mean, there's a internet footprint that also I know that never leaves sometimes. So you do want to be careful about what you say and what you post. And I won't lie, I think my very first early years, I was a pretty emotional train wreck. So, you know, maybe some of those old posts were, you know, too sappy, but I mean, our lives are pretty darn happy today. So, SMA or not, I mean, we choose to make things happy or sad. And so, you know, we choose to be happy and live with, you know, whatever we got. And so, I love my new head. Yeah. I laugh at some of the old things that I post and I'm like, I mean, thank goodness Jack is doing well, but I'm like, oh man, I was a little dramatic there. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, sometimes I'll like erase old things like nobody needs to read that anymore.
I mean, I think it's pretty natural. Like I said, it's like, I mean, no matter what
for everybody
it's in and like the resource out there, I think every parent like has that initial just like devastation when they get a diagnosis because it's so overwhelming. But like, yeah, you do. I mean, it evolves over time and you see, you know, I mean, things change and you get more like you adapt and, you know, and so it's very natural, I think, to have that kind of like, I mean, kind of like over the you know,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it's understandable at the same time. And one thing about that, too. So like, as you know, from our interview, I did not have external caregivers until I was an adult. My parents were my only primary caregivers. We didn't really know how to go about that. But what's that process been like for you in terms of like getting help for Jack and what is that kind of like right now?
Well, luckily, you know, with the way the Medicaid healthcare system, you know, goes, if you've got type 1 SMA, I know it makes it a lot easier to get the help that you need. Even type 2, because you have type 2, right?
Right, right.
I mean, you need full assistance.
Yeah.
And shockingly, it just is so much more difficult for you to get assistance than it is for, you know, for Jack, and you both need it. And so that still trips me out. But, I mean, it was pretty easy for us. I didn't have help for probably the first 6 months. He was diagnosed at 2 months. So the first, 6 months I was on my own. And then, you know, we slowly added one nurse at a time. I really was the mom that was like, I don't need help. I should be doing this on my own, but man, no, you need, you know, you need alone time. You need help. There's no way, again, SMA or not, there is no way that any mom or single mom or parents can raise a child, you know, solely on them. They need your parents, grandparents, you know, whoever can help. So, you know, with somebody like Jack, obviously you want that second set of hands to be somebody who has knowledge of, you know, taking care of people. So, over time, we've added more nursing care and we've been given more because he's required more. But it's been pretty easy. We've had pretty much good seeds in our home. Two of the four of our nurses have been with us for almost 4 years now. And, you know, they're like family. And I know we talked about this last time. And, you know, they say to for the nurses and for the parents not to treat each other like too closely. But, man, there's no way that you can live like that. You're with, you know, my nurse is here 40 hours a week, sometimes 50 hours. And if you don't like them, I mean, it's a pretty tough life to live, to spend so much time with somebody. And, so yeah, we're all very close and they're pretty young girls. And, so they get along with me. I get along with them. And I know we talked about too, you know, thinking about since he's male, if he would prefer, you know, a male character in the future. But I mean, whoever can take care of him best, that's all that matters.
Right.
Or girl. So yeah, I mean, it's been pretty easy. Like I said, our nurses are great. They, you know, they do whatever I ask and they do it with a big smile on their face and they love Jack. I mean, Jack is so easy to love. And I don't just say that cause he's my son. He really is like a little walking, I don't know, he's like a little comedian, so he's real fun to be around. He's always saying weird things. You're like, what? Wait, what?
That sounds like me at that age, or now, too. I mean,
yeah, I know, right? I'll probably do that at this point.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and Kristen, just wrapping up here, just a couple more questions. So, you know, you talked about, I mean, your story and your process and everything. You know, and we talk a lot, I mean, of course, I write about a lot about, like, things that I wish society better understood about people with disabilities. And obviously, that's extremely important. But what's something that you wish people better understood about parents who are, you know, who have kids with disabilities?
Oh, man. I wish that... others didn't think we were like such bubble people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Obviously right now everybody's a bubble person, but, you know, I wish that everybody was a little less scared to invite us to do things or, you know, I'm sure people stare at you sometimes when you're at the grocery store and they wonder why are you in a power chair? Hey man, just ask me. You know, right. I'm happy to tell you, or just go about your day. I'm not here. It's like either one. Don't just stare. The staring gives me issues.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we're all the same people. Different color, different ways to walk. You know, different ways to talk, but we're all people. So I don't know. It's really important for me for Jack to know also, you know, you got to be nice to people and people, you know, you need to make sure people know that they have to be nice to you. That we need more kindness in this world for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. That's the number one thing that annoys me too, is like, and you see it when, you know, like when you're out in public and maybe a kid is looking at me or something like that, and you can tell they want to ask a question, and the parent encourages them not to. I'm like, no, don't let, like, I mean, like, let them ask, let them talk, because that lets them, like, then they can talk to me and understand that, like, hey, I'm just like, and you know, like every other person, it's just like I have this disability, and like, and that provides an opportunity for education. But I totally agree, that's the number one thing that annoys me, is like when people are too hesitant to ask because they're afraid of like being awkward or something. It's like, no, you can come up and ask me questions. I'm happy to start a conversation. But like, it's right. Way worse when you just stand there and stare. I'm like, that's what, you know, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like just normalizing the idea of the wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, Jack used to be in a stroller, which we would carry every single one of his machines on all the time. And those days were probably harder than today. Today is, because he's just in a manual wheelchair now. So he has come a very long way. From being required to be sectioned all the time, and you know, strangers hearing like that weird buzzing noise, like what's that loud machine? To today, you know, it's just I'm like smacking his back a little harder so he can cough out whatever he's, you know, having trouble chewing on or something. So I mean, it is a different world, but I mean, we're all going to be in a wheelchair at some point of our lives, whether we break the leg or when we get older. So it's a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I totally agree. I mean, those stigmas are something we're always fighting against. And, you know, whether parents or someone with SMA. But and lastly, Kristen, what advice do you have for others in the SMA community, be they parents or even others with SMA? Like, what's something you want to say to audience out there?
I kind of touched on this earlier, you know, as far as diagnosis, obviously those first years are tough, but man, once the second you realize, like, you know, this is your life and it can still be a super great life, I think the world just changes for you right there. So my advice is to, you know, keep looking for the brightness until all the lights are on. Because we're so happy. I mean, we used to be, you know, sad, you know, Jack won't be able to do this or do that. But man, I think now, like, we have so many more opportunities now than he would be if he was a, you know, an able-bodied child. You know, he's been to Disney World like 4 times and, you know, he gets to do the front line of everything. And I don't know. I really hope that people see the brightness sooner than later.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and you know, that person in your life that is affected truly, you know, that has the SMA or has the disability or you know, that's living in that, they see everything. Man, if I'm sad, Jack's sad. And so it's really important to me to make sure he knows, like, no matter what, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to go to Paris, he can go to Paris. If he wants to, use a bulldozer, hey man, I'll carry you up there and you can do it, you know, like, whatever it is, the more adults with SMA that I meet, I'm like, wow, that's your career. Like, that's amazing. I know it's, right now there's a lot of, people with disabilities, you know, they don't want to be this shining beam of hope, but
uh-huh.
Hey man, to our type of families, it's what we do need. It's what we need to see. It's what we need to be, you know, proud of and look forward to for our own kids. I get feeling like being like inspiration all the time, but there are people who do need your inspiration. Even in normal, you know, I see people mm-hmm. friends all the time who have cool jobs and I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. And I'm like, I can't do that. What am I saying? You know, it's all the same. So I just talk a little over the place, but
it's all good. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Well, I'll just add a quick anecdote to that. I mean, cause it's something I've written about as well as like, you know, I mean, people like the term inspiration porn is thrown around a lot in disability communities. And it's like, the way I see it, I'm happy whenever a parent in the SMA community with someone younger comes up to me and says like, hey, you really inspired me to like think differently about my kid's future and everything. That's great. And like, I am happy. It's more what annoys, and that doesn't annoy me at all. What annoys me more is when strangers say like, you know, just come up to me at a restaurant or something like that, like not knowing me at all, or just see me sitting there and say like, you're an inspiration. That's where the line is drawn. Cause like, absolutely. When I get up at an SMA conference and I speak or something like that, I mean, that, like, I hope I do inspire someone there, you know, and that's the great, it's more the, like, when we get the token inspiration cards from, like, for doing nothing, you know, like, that's,
yeah.
That's more, what, like, from strangers, exactly. That's where it gets annoying, so, but it's a great conversation to have, you know, I mean, especially between adults and parents in the community, but, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really perfect way to put it. I mean, like I said, I worked in news before, and so, you know, any new story, it has to have an emotional
impact. Oh, yeah.
So if you're fundraising, you know, it is hard to not be a little, you know, a little too emotional, because you need that for people to care, you know, to care about your disease, to donate to your disease so that your disease can find a cure. And so, but yeah, I mean, that puts it in better terms, you know, just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't automatically make you an inspiration.
That's right. So
I
was in a bar one time with a friend and yeah, some guy came up to me like, started talking. Well, he initially asked me about my robot arm, the Jake arm I have. And like, we started a conversation about that because he was an engineer. And then like, when he left, he's like, hey, yeah, I just want to know, you're an inspiration. People like, I'm like, what did I do? I just like, I'm like, I'm having dinner and a beer right now. Like, okay, is that... But so it's always humorous when it's like, you know, random passerbys that say something like that. But no, it's like I said, I'm happy to, you know, kind of be that, you know, person of hope and other adults as well, like at conferences or not, to give parents a change of mind, you know, when they think about their kids' future and what they can and can't do, you know. So yeah,
I mean, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, we didn't know Jack was going to live, and now we're like, oh wait, he's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got to focus on school. Like, what is he going to do? Is he likes computers. He likes to sing. He likes to dance. Like, you know, what are his options? So it's really cool that, you know, I know there's actors in our community. And so many people have such cool jobs that work for the government. You know, you have your social media stuff. I know accountants. I'm like, okay, you know, the sky really is the limit. That's not just a saying.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, hey, Chris, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing. This is a great conversation. Do you have a social media page for Jack or anything, or like where people can find you?
Yes, it's called the Cure SMA for Captain Jack.
Nice.
On Facebook.
Awesome. We can link that in the bio for sure. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, Kristen, thank you again. This was fantastic. And for our listeners out there, you can find more stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. And we're all over SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our main website for all the latest news and perspectives from the SMA community. And you can join us on our forums page. We would love to have you there. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.